a message today, this message also is going to point towards a life lesson. It's a life lesson. The title of this message this morning is, Don't Throw Away a Blessing. Don't throw away a blessing. You know, God's word teaches us that there are things that he hates. Now, when you use the word hate, hate's a very strong word. If you go into the elementary schools today and you go sit down with a group of first graders or second graders and you say the word hate, you're going to hear the children just stop in silence. And they're going to look up at the teacher and say, he said hate. And to them, it's a bad word. It's a bad word because they're being taught that hate is a bad word. But yet God says there are things that I hate. I hate. And when God uses this word, it's because of the fact that there's something within our character that he has a very strong dislike for. And he tells us, Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, he says, these things the Lord hates. Yes, even seven are an abomination to him. And today, we're going to look at the first thing that God hates. Verse 17 shows us a proud look. A proud look. God says, I hate that. And we're going to talk about this morning and why God hates it. Webster defines a proud look as this: having or showing a high or excessively high opinion of oneself or one's achievement or one's importance. And you notice that before each expression, the word one shows up. It's all about me. It's not about you, it's all about me. And so it concludes with the word arrogant, or someone being arrogantly. But arrogant shows up in this definition when you define and you look up and try to have an understanding of what a proud look looks like. And the same we will find in the word pride. We'll find the same definition. It is about someone's opinion of themselves. Now, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. If we turn there, we're going to see that God says, resist the devil. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. Now, why does God resist the proud? What is this attitude that the proud have that God hates? Well, it lacks humility because the next part of that verse says, God gives grace to those who are humble. He gives grace to those who are humble. Proverbs 3 and verse 34 shows the same conversation. You don't have to turn there. It says, he gives grace to the humble. James 4 and verse 6 shows us that he gives more grace to the humble. And he says, therefore, God resists the proud. Now, what is going on with our pride? If we have that pride within us, you know, many times when we think about people who are very prideful, first thing we think about are men. Wives think about their husbands. Oh, yeah, you know, you're one proud dude. Can't tell you anything. You know, we're sitting here driving down the road. You know you just missed your turn, but your pride won't let you admit the fact that you just missed a turn. And if I say anything to you, oh, boy, here we go. That's what our pride does to us. Our wives look over and says, well, you know you just ran that red light. And we have an explanation other than the fact that we were wrong. The explanation is just very simple. I know I ran that light. I ran it for a reason. Well, what was your reason? You had no reason. But your wife called you out on it. And wives have a tendency of doing that. And I can't just say wives and husbands because I have children. I have daughters that would do the same thing to me. Oh, Dad, But you see, I get to kind of point the finger back at them too, because they do the same thing. But the bad part about that, it comes right back to me again, because I'm the one that taught them the bad habits. But yet, it is very difficult to work with a person who is very prideful. Now, we oftentimes think about us men as being that way. But you women are the same way. And how are you this way? Let me go tamping around in your kitchen. And let me say that I can do something a little bit better than you. Or let me say I can make something better than you. Oh, we're going to see what happens then. We're going to see who's going to get fed, who's not going to get fed. And yet we all suffer from having that little trait of pride within our character. Well, God says, I don't like that. I don't want you to be prideful people. And sometimes, family, we can take the knowledge that God has given to us as God's people. God has been teaching us for many years on the Sabbath and in Bible studies. He's been teaching us and showing us his way of life. He's been instructing us on how we are to be towards one another and how we are to be towards the world. And yet, sometimes we can take what God has given to us and become very arrogant about it. Oh, we keep the Sabbath. We keep God's holy days. You know? Well, that's not what God wants of us. And we don't have to parade around being arrogant or even prideful about it, because then that leads us to sin. That leads us to sin. And so we have to be careful. Even as I shared with you the last time, well, a couple of times before that I was up here, we talked about the spirit of Christmas and where it came from. And it showed us through man's understanding of that time of the year. Man knows that, you know, it's a pagan holiday. They know it's not to be kept. So sometimes I got to ask ourselves a question. Why do we get so uptight about it? They know it. We know it. What do we have the opportunity to do? We have the opportunity to be a light, to be an example. When someone comes to us and say, you know, I notice you don't have lights up around your house. Why not? Well, you see, God always tells us to do what? Be ready to do what? To give an answer. And we don't have to be harsh or brutal about it. Well, you know, we have an opportunity now to teach someone who was asked, who generally wants to know, why you don't do it. Well, I don't do it because God tells me to come out of the world. And this is of the world. This is not of God. But what about the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, the world taught that he was born during this time period. The Bible doesn't show that. The Bible disproves that. The Bible talks about rejoicing in his death, because had he not died, we would not have a Savior. But see, now you have their attention, and you didn't beat them over the head with what they believe. And God could very well be trying to lead these individuals to us, but because of our spiritual pride, you know, we get all twisted up here with God's word and what we have that God's given to us. And it's for us. No, Jesus Christ died for the whole world, family. He didn't just die for you and me. He died for the whole world. That the world might be what? Saved. And so we have to always remember that no one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws that individual and sends that individual to Christ. God is the one who does the calling. And yet God uses each of us as a witness, if we would witness in the right way. If we will witness with humility, if we will witness with the word of God and not become prideful because God gave us something, God brought us into the light. God gave us his word. God gave us the understanding of his holy days and the Sabbath. God wants to give that same thing to others as well, not just to you and me. His plan encompasses the world. But yet we know that there are going to be many that will not accept what God is offering. And so we have to be careful of what I call spiritual pride. In other words, allowing God's word to make us puffed up and not humble. We are to be a humble people. We are not to be an arrogant people. And God does not want us walking around looking prideful. Said he gives grace to the humble. You know, God loves us when we're doing things his way and when we're doing it in obedience to him. You know, a few weeks ago, I had to go to Walmart. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm probably going to be home during the season. I was supposed to be up at the Winter Family Weekend. I wasn't feeling well that Friday. So I thought if I felt better Sabbath morning, I'd get up and go up. I didn't feel any better Sabbath morning. So I stayed down. Also during that week, it was very stressful because I had 3 trucks that rolled over. I had 5 accidents, and out of those 5, 3 were rollovers. It was a very, very stressful week. And yet also, it was very stressful for me physically as well. So I had to take some time and just say, hey, no, you're not going to do anything. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay put. And it's amazing when you get older, your body just has a unique way of saying, okay, really? Seriously? See how fast you can walk out the door. You know, when I decided your left leg and your left knee is going to give out on you and you're going to hit that door and think twice now. And so yet God gives us the Sabbath for 2 reasons. To come before him, to be taught by him, and to rest. Well, we do the latter part, but we don't do the rest part, some of us. I'm not going to say that's you. That's probably more me. But I want to share a life lesson with all of us. Here's a lesson that I learned. During that time period, I said, okay, well, you know, I better get out and go and grab a few things and put in the house because I know Christmas Day, everything around here is going to be closed. But the interesting thing about Tennessee, well, I'm used to Indiana. Indiana is shut down on that day. The only thing that's open is a Chinese restaurant, and that's it, or a gas station. But Tennessee, there's things that are still open. Didn't know that. Learned something new. I don't know how it is in Kentucky, but here's what I learned, that there are things open. But yet, I walked into Walmart, and when I walked into Walmart, I was going down the center aisle. I looked up, and I saw this man, very well dressed. He looked like he could be a member of the church by his walk, by his talk. So there was no threat. But it was something interesting that this man was doing. He was walking down this aisle, and he was going over to people. It was almost kind of like, you know, he was kind of zigzagging back and forth between people that were walking up the aisle. He walked over to them. He said something to them. He put something in their hand. He walked over to the next person. He said something to them. He put something in their hand. And as I was walking towards him, I kind of looked at each person that he said something to, and then whatever he put in their hand, it was this kind of a blank look on their face. And so yet, I was getting ready to make a turn down the frozen food section, and as I went to make that turn, the man came up to me, grabbed me by my arm, and he says, "Do me a favor." I said, "What's that?" And he handed me this envelope. He says, "Whatever you do, don't throw this in the trash." I thought, huh. And then he says, "Have a Merry Christmas." And he walks off. And he scurries. He's in a hurry. As I turn around, I see him making his last few stops, and out the door he went. So it is not unusual for people just to walk up to me and hand me an envelope in the grocery store. Sometimes it's a scripture. Sometimes it's an invitation to something. Sometimes it's just words of encouragement. And I did with that what I do with those. I didn't throw it away immediately. I took it and I just stuck it in my pocket, went on about my business, and went home. Well, that evening when I got in, I was putting the food away. And I was taking things out of my pocket and putting it on the counter, as I always do, so I don't forget things the next morning when I get up and start my day. Because, you know, when you're by yourself, you have nobody to blame, you know. Where did this get moved to? Well, there's nobody to blame. It's just me in the house. So what I have to do is I put everything in one little spot. And the next day I come back and it's still there. Now, if it's not there, there's only one person in this house that could have moved this. And so yet, I took everything out of my pocket that evening and laid it up on the counter. So I decided I was going to go ahead and make dinner. So I was making dinner, I was kind of moving my stuff out of the way, and there was that envelope. And I looked at the envelope, and what struck me was the comment the guy made. He says, "Whatever you do, don't throw this in the trash." Well, a lot of times we have a tendency of doing that. Somebody walk up to us, they hand us something. Sometimes we don't even look at it. We just say, "Oh, okay, thank you," and put it aside. And it ends up in the trash. Well, I went and I opened the envelope and I went to see what nice comment, what nice gesture, what did this guy have to say that was so important for me not to throw this envelope in the trash. When I opened it up, I was really shocked and surprised. It was a picture. It was a very unique picture. It was a president on the picture. And he was surrounded by green ink. He was a very large president. Matter of fact, he's a pretty nice president. Because they put him on a very, very large bill. And I stopped for a moment. I thought, wait a minute. And I went back in my mind, I'm thinking, this guy was walking down the aisle. I'm going back and I'm trying to calculate in my head how many people I saw him go over and do this to. And then I realized also as he came closer to me, he would reach up and he'd hand them this envelope and he would say, "Have a Merry Christmas." He wasn't loud. He's very soft-spoken about it. He says, "Here, have a Merry Christmas." I don't know how long this man's been in the store doing this. But you see, the lesson I got out of this, you know, I had money to pay for the groceries. I was fine. Did I need this at that moment? No. But there is a lesson here that I want to share with each of us. And that lesson is very simple, family. Sometimes God has a unique way of wanting to bless us and share with us. And because of how it may come, we sometimes will just shove it away or throw it away. Why? Because sometimes we let that spiritual pride get in the way because of the time of the year. But do you realize there are more people than not that believe as we believe, even though they don't come to church? They believe the same as we believe. They have researched the holidays. They know what they mean. They know where they came from. And they could probably tell us better than we can tell them. But yet, when we look at the glitter, the flicker, the colors, it distracts us from seeing God in a very small window. You know, as a man, as a father, as a husband, one of the hardest lessons for me to learn when my children were small was the fact that I had a lot of pride. And it took God working with widows to let me see that. Now, how did God let me see that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to share it with you. God allowed me to see this because a widow had an opportunity to serve me as I was serving her. But I wouldn't allow her to serve me. Why? It was pride. Because I'm here to serve you. Well, they also have an opportunity to serve as well. And they want to take what they have to serve you and to show you appreciation and thankfulness. Now, God has allowed me to work with a lot of widows over the years. And I tell you, a lot of my humble beginnings started in the living room just serving a widow. But why would I not accept a $5 or $10 bill from the widow to go have lunch? She wanted to offer me this because of what I was doing. Well, I didn't do this for money. I did this out of my heart. I did this to serve them. Well, do you realize, men, that God blesses them and they want to be a blessing to us as well? And when we allow our pride to get in the way, they can't serve us because we won't allow them to do so. If I have a need, I go to God. And what I want God to do in the privacy of my room is to provide that need without anyone knowing about it. God, this is between me and you. Okay? Now, I don't want you to be like the tooth fairy, because the tooth fairy never showed up. I yanked all those teeth out of my mouth for no reason. I stuck them under the pillow because they told me there would be money up on that pillow. And every morning when I woke up, that tooth was still there. There was no money. So I'm running around here toothless just for no reason. Okay? Well, I want God not to be like the tooth fairy. And when I go to God and I ask God for something, you know, just if it's monetary, just slide it under my pillow when I go to sleep. But I don't want anybody to know about it. We men have a tendency of being very prideful. You women, you daughters, you mothers, have a unique way of helping us with this the right way. When that help comes, when we're asking God for help, we don't really have the right to say to God how we want that help to come. We can do it, but guess what's not going to happen? It's not going to come the way we want it to come. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to provide for us. And sometimes, family, because of the fact that we get caught up with a time of the year, we don't think that a blessing can come through those moments. And when we think that way, it's because we don't see God in that moment. We don't see God. We see the glitter. We see the flicker. We see the colors. We see the season. And yet God is still there. God is still there. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Proverbs 22 and verse 9 says, "He has a generous eye. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." Now we have those within the world. They read this. They see this. This part of the scripture they understand. And yet, this is the time of the year that they feel like that they can have that spirit of giving. And yet, they're trying to do it the right way. And they're trying to do it without the glitter and the flicker. This man right here was very subtle in how he did what he did. And he did it quickly. And he got himself out of the way. He wanted to give to those he felt were the poor or the needy. But here's what we have to remember and understand, and don't forget. Haggai 2, verse 8. You don't have to turn there, I'll just quote it. Haggai 2 and verse 8 reminds us. God says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine." All the wealth of the world, he is telling us, it belongs to him. So it doesn't matter where it comes from, it belongs to God. What matters is our view and perspective of it. You know, my mother and I, we worked, when I was a teenager, Mom worked for a hotel downtown Indianapolis. She was the main chef in this hotel. And later, as a teenager, I was able to get a job in the maintenance department down there. Now, you're working on your job. You're drawing a paycheck. You're working hard. You're earning your money. Now, come to find out that hotel was owned by the mafia. It was owned by the mafia. And they didn't let it be a big secret. Now, people have an idea of what the mafia is all about, what they do, things they're involved in. But this is the hotel that we're working in. Mom's working in the restaurant, and we're earning our keep. Now, where's the money coming from? Whatever events they have going on, I guess, good or bad. And so when you find that out, do you quit your job and say, "Hey, I can't work for this group. They're mafia." It's okay, so you go work for another company. This company that you go to next is governed by a union, which is controlled by the mafia. So what you just did was jumped out of the frying pan and right just to another fire. So at some point, you've got to ask a question. Where does all this money come from? Is it clean? Is it dirty? I don't know. You don't know. But are you earning it the right way? Is the question. And if we're earning it the right way, then we're asking God for the blessing. We ask God to provide, and God provides. God says, "The silver is mine. The gold is mine. Everything is mine. It belongs to me. All the wealth. all the treasures, all the diamonds, all the rubies, it all belongs to me. Psalms 50 and verse 10 through 12. He goes on and he says, the beasts of the forest, they're mine. The cattle of a thousand hills, they're mine. All the birds of the mountains, they're mine. All the wild beasts of the field, they're mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Why? If I'm hungry, why would I tell you that I'm hungry if I'm God? When the world and the fullness thereof belongs to God. It all belongs to God. So he is telling us everything that is and exists, it exists because of me. It belongs to me. You know, this was a very interesting lesson for me because it kind of drew me into my character. You know, for the man to say what he said to me, I don't know that he said this to anyone else, but why did he say that particular, why did he make that particular statement to me? Whatever you do, don't throw this away. You know, it was kind of like a little sigh of a plead here for me not to do this. But he did what he did out of the generosity of his heart. He wanted to serve. He wanted to help. And then it drew me to Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Again, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. One passage says, but do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Could this man have read that scripture? Could he have said, okay, God, you know, you've given me a lot. I want to share what I have with others. And so we're reminded, Paul says, don't forget to do good and to share. Don't we do that at the Feast of Tabernacles? The places that we go when we keep the feast, people love us there. They want to see us coming. Why? Two reasons. You're nice people. And you spend money. And you tip, of course, very, 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 very well. For I had a waitress that said she wasn't coming in that week until she found out that we were there. She wanted to be there, and she took every shift she could take because we were there. Because we're nice people, and we tip well. We read this same verse, you know, don't forget to do good and to share. And that's what we do at the Feast of Tabernacles, do we not? We share of the blessings that God has given to us. And we're told to do this. And we're told to go and enjoy the feast and have a very good feast. And so we do this. And so yet we do this for others, but yet we can't see others doing this for us. Because it comes in a way that's not acceptable to us. And we really have to stop and think about that because God here says everything belongs to me. Okay? Everything belongs to me. Genesis 12 and verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you. Wow. Right there, stop. I will bless those who bless you. This is what he told to Abram. He says, your families of the earth shall be blessed. And anyone who blesses you, I'm going to bless them. The widow who wants to be a blessing to you and me as men, God will bless them. They read this, they see this, they understand that. They want the blessing, and you need to be blessed. It was not out of necessity, but this was out of a lesson. Here's a life lesson that I learned just from this one little moment. Because it made me stop and think and evaluate my spiritual attitude when it came to pride and when it comes to God blessing his people. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Proverbs 13, verse 22. We see that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. But here's something very interesting that I think we overlook many times. Because the next part of that verse says, but the wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. The wealth of a sinner is stored up for the righteous. What does that mean to you? You know, God has the ability to take the wealth from a sinner, including us as well, if we turn back to sin and stop obeying God. The wealth of the sinner is taken away from them and given to who? The righteous. Who are the righteous? We are God's people. God will take the wealth of the world. He will take the wealth of the sinner. He'll take the wealth of that rich man, and he will let them store it up so it can be turned around and given to you. Never stop to think about that until this event. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from God above. Here's a man trying to give a gift, but my spiritual pride, because of the season, was about to throw that thing in the trash. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That's what I was about to do with it. But the man said something that made me stop and think for a moment. Whatever you do, don't throw this away. Every good and perfect gift, James 1 and verse 17, comes from God above. It comes down from the Father of lights. If it's a blessing to us, we have to see God, and we have to see that that blessing comes from God. And God, family, don't want us to be in the habit of throwing away a blessing. We're told not to judge, not to condemn. We're told to forgive so that we can be forgiven. We're told to give, and it will be given to you in good measures, pressed down, shaken together, rolling over. God says, I will put this into your bosom. I will put these blessings into your lap. But you can't sit here and judge how it comes or where it comes from. Now, there are those moments that, yes, we will say no to certain things or certain individuals. But family, let's stop and breathe for a moment and look to see if this is coming from God. And look at how it's coming. This man wasn't walking around ringing the bell, you know, making a distraction in the store. He was very subtle, very quiet, and very quick. Because when I walked in the door, I saw him way back at the end. I don't even know why my attention was drawn to him. But yet it was. But God says, don't judge, don't condemn. Forgive and be forgiven. Given, it will be given unto you. You know, we see the widow again. I keep going back to the widows because, again, I've learned a lot of my days of being humbled were by the hands of widows. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 1, we see the account of the widow who gave all that she had, which was two mites. You don't have to turn there. But she gave all that she had, and God was pleased with her giving. Now, when God says, I will bless them who bless you, he didn't put a label on who those people are or those individuals are. He says, if a person blesses you, I will bless them. There was nothing about how they look, where they came from, what land they came from, because God reminded us that everything is and exists because of him. He owns it all, and God wants to share that with us. And for God to be able to share that with us, we have to have the right heart and the right attitude to be able to receive a blessing. You know, there was a story that I was told when I was a young man. The story was about an old lady. I don't know if it was a true story or not, but I remember the story from when I was a teenager. And that story still resonates in my head all the time. And the old lady was in her bedroom. She had beans. She had a few items left to eat, but she had no bread. And she felt like that having bread will help her get through the days of her hunger. And so she was on her knees, kneeling at the base of her bed, and she was praying and she was asking God for bread. He was asking God to bless her with the bread that she needed. Well, three young men in the neighborhood were walking between the houses, and they happened to hear the old lady praying. She evidently had her window cracked open, so they heard her praying. And they thought, hey, you know what? This would be a good idea, good opportunity for us to play a practical joke on her. So those three young men put their heads together. They put their little change together, and they ran down to the grocery store. And they got all these loaves of bread for the little change that they had. So they went back to the house and they listened. And they heard her still on her knees praying and asking God for bread. So one lifted the window up a little bit, while the other two took and just threw bread in the window onto her bed. I mean, they threw loaves and loaves and loaves of bread on her bed. They were out there laughing and, you know, just enjoying the fact that, you know, they just did something really stupid. And yet the lady looked up and she saw the bread laying there in front of her. So she stood up and she rejoiced before God and she says, God, thank you. You have given me more than I asked for. Thank you, Lord, for this bread. And so one of the young men decided to jump up and say, ah, you crazy old lady. God didn't give you that bread. We did it as a joke to you. And the old lady kneeled back down at the foot of her bed, and she says, Father, the devil may have delivered it, but I know you sent it. And she thanked God for the bread. You know, sometimes the devil does things and he tries to mean it for our harm or demise. And yet God will turn that around and do it for good. But you see, our pride, family, is what we have to set aside in order for God to be able to bless us. I don't know if that story was a true story. I heard that when I was a little kid, but I've always loved that story. The devil may have delivered it, but I know God sent it. And God has a unique way, and God has a sense of humor, too, you know, of helping and serving. He said, it all belongs to me, and you ask for it, I'll give it. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, he reminds us that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit and lowly than to be divided with the proud. Pride goes before our destruction. And so yet, pride cannot be a part of our daily lives. We have to dismiss it. We have to ask God for help. We have to ask God for help. You know, Jesus Christ in Galatians 6 says that he will bear our burdens. Anyone who asks of him for anything, he wants to do. He wants to provide. Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, a man reaps. And yet, if we sow corruption, that's what we're going to reap. But if we sow of the Spirit, then we will reap of the Spirit and the Spirit of everlasting life. Verse 9 says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we all have the opportunity to do so, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Others read these scriptures. You know, I don't know where they are in their walk with God, and it's not for me to know that. But what it is for me to know is how I'm supposed to be, how you're supposed to be in conducting ourselves before God. God tells us not to love the world or the things of the world. Because in 1 John 2 and verse 15, we see that he tells us, do not love the world or the things of it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust, the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. The pride of life. This is not of God, he says. It's of the world. And so we have to tame that proud look, because God says, I hate that proud look. I can't serve. I can't help you when you're prideful, because you will not accept the blessing given to you. You won't even accept the blessing if others see you in need and they come up to help. Your pride will not allow you to accept that help from them. And yet here they're trying to be a blessing to you. And yet people come to you and ask you, are you okay? I heard you lost your job. Do you have need of anything? Oh, nope, everything's fine. I'm good. What's the second thing that God said he hated? A lying tongue. Because that's what we're doing when someone comes up and asks if we need help. And we say no. When the truth of the matter is, yes, we need help. But that pride will not allow us to say, I need help. We don't want to be looked upon or viewed upon as weak or less than nothing as men or as husbands. There's nothing more disappointing to a father when he can't provide and he can't help his children. There's nothing more disappointing to a husband where he cannot provide and take care of his wife and his household. And ladies, you have to understand that this is a big deal to us because we have a great responsibility as husbands, as fathers, as men. And God does not remove those responsibilities from us, no matter what the world says. We are held accountable to God for our family. And he says if we don't take care of our families, we don't provide for our families, then we're worse than those who don't believe. And so we have a great responsibility. So there's a lot of pressure upon us as men in being providers and in taking care of our families. There's a great pressure. Where you come into play is to help us through God's word to see and to know and to understand that all that help that we need comes from God. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, we're told to walk in the light, for we once walked in darkness, but now we are in the light. And as children of God, we walk in the light of God. This is how we are supposed to walk. This is how we are supposed to be. God expects you and me to be a light, to be an example, to be humble, so that when he wants to bless us, he can do so. And in knowing that we will receive the blessing in a right way. Family, we can't forget the fact, and we're told here in Ephesians 2, don't forget that we once walked the same as the world walked before God called us into his family. There were things that we did, there were things that we said, there were things that we enjoyed that we find out today that was wrong. Did someone beat us over the head with it? No, because they didn't even know about it. But God shared his word with you and me. And we have an opportunity today to be that example and be that light of Jesus Christ. You know, there was these bracelets that people were wearing a while back. You know, what would Christ do? Well, it was a fashion thing because majority of the people that wore those bracelets didn't do what Christ would do. They did the total opposite of that. And so they made a mockery of Jesus Christ in walking around with these bracelets that said, you know, what would Christ do? Well, the impression that you're giving us is that you're going to act in accordance to God's word. You're going to treat your neighbor and love your neighbor as God says. But they did the total opposite of that. And then here we are, family. We have the opportunity to continue to grow. God is preparing his church for what's coming down the pike. And in order for God to prepare his church to be the example that he needs us to be, he is sharing with us the lessons of life that we need to learn. Because sometimes, family, we can be offensive because of our spiritual pride. We can be offensive to others. And because of that spiritual pride, sometimes we attack people. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a light, to be an example, to be of encouragement to others so that he can call them as we be a witness into a world of darkness. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And yet, God is reminding us there are prideful lessons that we have to learn as God's people. We have to learn to trust and obey God. We have to learn to see God. Look for him. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. And sometimes we have to look past the glitter, the flicker, the colors of the season to actually see God. There are those who are struggling trying to be obedient to God. God hasn't called them yet. But you know, the interesting thing about those folks is they keep trying. And they'll read the word and they'll try to apply it in their lives. And then they run across us And if we're puffed up with our spiritual pride, we just knock them out of the water. And yet one day, that door will open. There'll be a person that walks through that door, and you'll think in your mind, I've seen that person somewhere before. And that person will walk up to you and say, I remember you. I saw you in Walmart. I walked up to you, and I was told to give you this, and I gave you that. And you're here. What a blessing. I want to ask you something. Did you throw away the envelope? And you know, and I can look and I can say to that man, no, I did not throw away that envelope. And now that we've met again, I would like to take the opportunity to thank you. It wasn't needed, but it was a thought that allowed me to learn a very important lesson in life. And that is not to be puffed up with pride, with spiritual pride, and miss a blessing that God was trying to give to me. You shared that blessing with I don't know how many people. Now I have a question for you. Why did you do it? And he may take me to a scripture that he read in the Bible. This is why I did it. And at that moment, I'm going to be glad that I didn't throw away the blessing. God says, I will bless those who bless you. Everything, all the wealth, all belongs to me. And I, God, want to share that with you. Now, family, I'd like to leave us with this question. Will we humble ourselves enough to receive that blessing, or we just throw it away?